The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe saying, Shlach lecho anoshim v'yosur es eretz Kenan. Send for yourselves men and let them spy out Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. Asher ani naisen livnei Yisrael, which I am going to give to the children of Israel, ishechod lamate aveisov tishlochu kol nosi vohem. You should, every prince of every tribe should send out one man. This is speaking approximately a year after the giving of the Torah, when they came to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and they were going to go into the land. And the people said, they came to Moshe and they said that first we want to see the land. We want to see what kind of land it is, and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, he says, Shlach lecha ledaitcha, ani eina metzava lecha. In Tirtze Shlach, he says, I am not commanding you to send, because I told you it's a good land and you won't have to worry about anything. But if you want, all right, then choose people, men, and send. This actually was just at Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, because they came back 40 days later, which was Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. Vayishlach Esameshim in Mibar Porom, Al Pi Hashem, and Hashem and Moshe sent the people. Roshei Kulam Anoshim, Roshei Vnei Yisrael Hema. Kulam Anoshim, they were all men. Loshin Hashivus, Rashi tells us, men of stature. Ukseim Hoyu Beisusho, and they were kseirim. They were kosher people, not rishoyim, not evil people. And Roshei Vnei Yisrael Hema, they were the leaders of their tribes. And then the Torah lists their names: Shamor ben Zok, Zakur, Shavet ben Chori, and so forth. We're all familiar with the story. Moshe told them what to look for, and they went and they saw the land for 40 days. And they took from its fruit, and they came back. By Srapurulei Vayomru Bonu El Oretz, they said, yes, we came to the land, and it's a land of flowing with milk and honey. Ephes, but. And they started to say all kind of bad things about the land. There were only two, Yeshua bin Nun and Kaleb ben Yefune, that contradicted them. But by Yotziu Dibas Oretz Asher Toru Israel ben Israel Lemor, they were Meitzi Dibas Oretz. They said slander Loshon Hora on the land. Oretz Asher Avanu Vol Asur Esoi Esor, the land which we have crossed over to spy out, Eretz Echelesh Eshvehohi, it's a land of that consumes its inhabitants. And everyone that we saw is of great height and great strength. And we saw the Nephilim, and we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, and so forth. This story is very significant, because it led to perhaps the greatest tragedy that took place to Klal Yisrael. Because of this, the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert that came out of Egypt, the Yetzim Mitzrayim, were not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael wandered in the desert 40 extra years in order that generation could die out, 600,000 people, all of the people between 20 and 60 years old, all of the men, with the exception of the women. The women were not involved. They wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And with the exception of Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, and a few individuals. And it had ramifications for generations. This. Now, there's a great deal that we can learn from here. But specifically, and we've given many shurim on this in the past, but specifically, one of the questions that can be asked is, what did these people see in Eretz Yisrael that led them to give this bad report? What bad things did they see? Because seemingly, what they saw were good things and good signs. For example, Moshe told them in Pasuk Yud Ches, Urisem es Eretz Mahi, look at the land to see what it is. What was meant by that? Rashi brings from the Medrash, Yesh Eretz Megadeles Giborim v'Yesh Eretz Megadeles Chaloshim. There are some lands that because of the particular quality of the land, it brings up strong people. And there are other lands because of the particular negative qualities of the land, of the atmosphere, of the water, of the food it grows, it brings up weak people. Yesh megadeles uchlusin, yesh mamea etes uchlusin. There are some lands which you see the inhabitants are very tall. They're tall and they're broad. And there are some lands where you see the inhabitants are very small. And this has to do with the land. So therefore he said, Urisem es ha'aretz mahi. See what the land, what type of physical people the land brings up. And from there you'll have an insight into if it's a good land or not. Now, what did they see? In Bosu Lamed Beis, they came back and they said, "Chol Om Asherinu Beseicha, Anshe Midos." All of the people that we saw there were Anshe Midos, were people of measure. Rashi says, "Gedalim Ugevayim," they were big. See, they were tall. So this. It was a good sign. Second case. In Pasuk Yutes, Moshe told them, Ma oretz asher hu yeshiv bo. See how the land and the cities are built. Me ha'orim asher hu yeshiv bo heino. Abe machanim im b'mivtzorim. Take a look at the cities. If the cities are open cities, or if the cities are fortified cities. And Moshe explained this to them. He says, if the cities are open cities, then this is a sign that the people are great warriors, and they're very strong and difficult to conquer. And if the cities are fortified cities, then we don't have to worry. They're weak people when it comes to war. Because what kind of people fortify their cities? Those who are afraid. But those who are not afraid and rely on their own strength, then they don't bother with all types of walls and with all types of barbed wire and everything else. So this is what Moshe told them to see. What did they report back? In Posuk Chofches, they said, Efes ki azo oma yeshiv bo'oretz ve'ho'orim b'tzureis gedeilis mi'od. They said that the cities are well fortified. So this was a sign that it would be an easy nation to conquer. A further case. Moshe told them, in Pasuk Chof. He says, Ma oretz hashmeino hi imrozo. Take a look at what the land is capable of growing. Is it a fat land? And it grows good fruits. Is it a lean land? And does not grow good fruits? And make sure to bring back from the fruit of the land. And from there we can tell what kind of land it is. Now what happened? It states on Bosuchov Gimel, Vayavo, Anachal Eshkel. They came to a place called Nachal Eshkel. By Yichrusu Mishom, actually this place was really not called Nachal Eshkel. The Gra writes in a place that it was called this Al Shem Seifei. Nachal Eshkel means a brook of the cluster, because they were to take a cluster of grapes from here. By Yichrusu Mishom Zimora, they cut off a branch, the Eshkel Anovim, a cluster of grapes, Echod, one. By Yisauhu Bameit Bishnoim. And two carried it, umin harimainim, umin ateinim, and they took from the rimainim, from the pomegranates, and from the figs. The Gemara Masechta Seita says, and Rashi brings it, that it was not actually the two carried it. It was by Yisau v'Amet, they carried it with two staves, and actually eight carried it. Eight people they had. Four sticks carrying a cluster of grapes, two going this way and two going the other way, with eight ends, and eight people carried the cluster of grapes. Now, why is it necessary for eight people to carry a cluster of grapes? Because this is how large the grapes were. And echonotl te'eno, and one carried one fig, ve'echad rimon, and one carried one pomegranate. So there were 10. Yeshua and Kolev didn't carry. So they altogether there were 12 Maraglim. So 10. And the 10 carried between themselves. 8 carried a cluster of grapes, and 1 carried a pomegranate, and 1 carried a fig. Now, so we see what kind of land it is. Shmeino. It's a fat land. Look at what it grows. Another case. Maisha told them, in that same pasuk Chof, Hayesh ba etz im ayin. See if there's a tree or not. Now what does it mean, see if there's a tree or not? Of course there are trees. So what, did he have to send a maraglim to see if there's a tree or not? So the Chazal tell us, this is what Meisha told them. Im yesh bahem odem kosher, shi yogin aleihem bishusay. Just like a tree protects with its shade everything that grows around it, and the tree is what holds the soil together. The tree gives stability to the earth. See if there is an individual who is a great tzaddik who can protect them. And if there is, then we have what to worry about, because they have the schus of this great individual. If there isn't, then we don't have nothing to worry about. When they came back, what did they report? And Pasuk Tes, Yudala Tes, they reported, Ach, this was what what Yeshua and Kolev were reporting. Ach ba'ashem al timreidu ba'atem al tirou es ama oretz ki lachmeinu heim. He says, do not rebel against Hashem and do not fear this nation. They are like bread to us. Sot silom me'alehem. Their silom, their shadow of protection, has gone away from them. And the Gemara brings, Rashi brings, meginam. Their righteous people have died. Iyuv shohayu megin aleihem. He was worried about Iyuv. Iyuv was living there. And he died. since he died, so now the protection has gone away. We have nothing to worry about. This is what they reported back on that. So, what was the problem? Everything that Moshe told to look for, and from here they will be able to tell what kind of land it is, and what kind of what chances do we have of conquering it? Will it be easier? Will it be difficult? They saw exactly. It was a good report. Everything was good. So why did they come back and be made Sidibas Oritz? What did they see on the land that they spoke Lashon Hara about? From the Psukim we see just the opposite. That everything that they saw, they turned it around. But was good, they turned it around so it would be look evil. For example, when they saw Anshei Midos, people of height, they reported back not that it's a good land, you see the inhabitants are strong and healthy, but they said Anshei Midos and Leinuchalon, we won't be able to conquer them, they are so strong. And also, because I'll bring, the people are so big. So this is a proof that the land is a strange type of place. It's an Eretz Mishuna. It's a strange land that's Megadeles, an Am Mishuna, that brings forth strange nations. Because look at them. They're all giants. They're so big. When they saw the cities, and they saw that they were so fortified, and Moshe said, if they're fortified, that's a sign that the people are not good warriors. They came back and they said, they are so fortified, we'll never be able to break through them. When they saw the fruit, Moshe said, bring from the fruit and we'll see if it's a fat land. And here they have proof it was such a fat land. They brought the fruit and they said, Kishem Shepirya Mishuna Kach Amo Mishuna. They said, we have brought this fruit to show you that is a very, very strange and queer land. Because look at the type of fruit it brings forth. The fruit is so abnormal. It must be an abnormal land. And this is one of the reasons brought in the Gemara why Yeshua and Kolev wouldn't carry any fruit. Because it wasn't to bring back Lishvach, it wasn't to bring back as a proof that it's a fat land, but they were miskaven l'ro, it was to show that the land is an abnormal land. So everything that Moshe told them to look for, and he says, and if it's like this, that'll be a good sign. They saw it like that, but they darshaned, they used it as a bad sign. And not only that, even the Siyua, the Gemara brings him a Masechta Seita that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to help them. So he gave them help from heaven. And even on that help, they also saw in that, instead of good, they saw bad in it. Gemara brings on Daf Lamed Hay. Eretz Echel Sheishvel Hi. They said it's a land which consumes its inhabitants. Why did they use that term? Dorish Rova, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Cheshavti L'Tova. I did this for your good. Behem Chashavu L'Ra. And they looked at this for evil. Ani Cheshavti L'Tova D'Chol Hecha D'Motu Meis. I did this for your good, that wherever they would go, then they would find levayas, funerals. See, wherever they would go in the land, they would find a funeral. The most mace. And ki hechi the need to do the leli shalva basrayo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that during the time they were in Eretz Yisrael, he made it where a lot of those people died. And the people will be very busy with levayas. A person has a levaya, he's very busy. They would be very busy with levayas, and therefore, wherever they walked around, nobody would pay much attention to them and ask who they are and make an investigation. And you, because you saw that wherever you went, you were burying people, so you saw here that it was an Eretz Hechelesh Yisrael. You said that it was a land that consumes its inhabitants. So we see not only in the cases what Maisha told them to specifically look for, and if it's like this, it'll be good, and they found it like that. Did they just be mahapich, they turned it over? But even in the siyura, even in the siyata rishmaya, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them with, they also turned it over. From all of this we see a klal, a principle. Yesh doshim l'shfach v'yesh doshim l'gnai. That when you see something, no matter how clear it is, there'll be those people that will look at it from a positive aspect, from an objective aspect, and there'll be those people that will look at it from a negative aspect. Because they weren't liars. And we cannot say that with a total intent they distorted or they lied and falsified the report, because it states kula noshim, they were anoshim, loshim hashivas, ksherim hoye beis yishor, that when they came to Eretz Yisrael they were kosher people. And they were Rosh Mates, they were the heads of the tribes. So from here we see that it's possible that two people can look at the same thing. And one says, look how wonderful it is. And the other one will say, look how bad it is. Look what it's lacking. And this is what we had here. And this answers another question, because at the end of the story, Posuk Zayin, so Kolev and Yeshua said, "Vayemru Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Leimor Ha'Oretz Asher Avanu Bo Lo Sura Yisro Teva Ha'Oretz Miod Miod." That the land that we have gone into, it is a land which is Tova Ha'Oretz Miod Miod. It is a land which is not only good, but it's very, very good. So here you have the same group of people saw everything. And they saw that it was Tova Oretz Miod Miod, that it was very, very good, the land. It lacked nothing. And while the other Meraglim brought back the report of all of the negative factors. From here we see that just like people are different in their, they have different souls, they have different personalities, they have different thoughts, we must understand also that people have different riyas, people have different looks when they look at something. It's not that a riyah, when you look at something, this is purely a keach hitzeni, purely a power which is outside of the person. And therefore everybody will see this exactly the way it is in the same way. But when a person looks at something, it's actually his soul is looking at something. His innermost thoughts are looking at something. His mind is looking at something. And when he sees it, he looks at it through his soul. He looks at it through his mind, through his thoughts, through his personality. So therefore, when two people see something, even though they're both looking at the same thing, and we think they're both seeing exactly the same thing, it's not true. One is looking at it through his mind and through his nefesh and through his soul, and the other is looking at it through his mind and through his nefesh, his emotions and his soul, and it ends up they could be seeing totally opposite things, like we see here, that they saw in Eretz Yisrael all negative factors, and Yeshua and Kolev said that Tova Oretz Mi'od Mi'od, that it is very, very good. From here, incidentally, we learn that if you want to send someone to make an investigation, you want to send someone to look at something for you, you need a report back. It's not so simple, because the report that's going to come back is not going to be the same report regardless of who you sent. But it'll be intertwined very much so with the person that you send to get this report. Actually, the Gemara tells us this in Masechet Seta. It states as follows. On Daf Lamed Dalet, Reish Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "Vayachpru lono eso oretz." They went to spy out the land. Omer ruchir baraba maraglim leniskavnu ele lebeishose shel oretz shel Eretz Yisrael. The maraglim, when they went to Eretz Yisrael, their innermost intent, I will explain this a little further in a minute, but their innermost intent was to see shortcomings in Eretz Yisrael. Their innermost intent was to see evil in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara brings Exerishova, and Exiv Hocho Vayachpur Alonas Ores, Exiv Hosom Vechofra Lavona Ubeishachamo. That's one point the Gemara says. The Gemara says another such example. And Aflamed Hei, Reishom and Aleph. The Gemara tells us, it says, "Vayushuvu mitur ha'oretz, vayehu vayavou." They returned from spying out the land, vayehu vayavou, and they went and they returned. Now it should only say vayavou. It should just say that they came back. It says vayehu vayavou. They went and they came back. So why does it have to say they went? Omar v'yechin mishum Reb Shimon Yochai, makish halicha lebiya. It's to tell us that their going was the same as their returning. Ma bia be'etzoro, af halicha be'etzoro. Just as when they came back, after the 40 days when they came back, by that time they had already concocted this conspiracy that we will give over this story, just as their returning was with this Eitzorah, was with this evil conspiracy, so was their going. Their initial going was with this evil conspiracy. And that's why it states, Vayehu Vayavou, that they went and they returned, to tell us that their initial going was the same as their returning in the end. Now, we could ask a question here. What does it mean that their intent was to see evil in Eretz Yisrael? What does it mean that their initial going was to see evil in Eretz Yisrael? It states explicitly, Kulam Anoshim. They were all Loshen Hashivas. They were all upright men. Roshei Matos Bnei Yisrael. They were the head of the tribes. Sheirim Hoyu Ba'esu Shoah. They were kosher at that time. But the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, "Ve'elish Meisim Lamatei Reuben." These were their names from the tribe of Reuben, Shamua ben Zohar. Omer Bitzchok. The Bitzchok says, "Dove zeh meseiris biyodeinu mi'aveseinu." We have a Maseiris. We have a tradition, a Kabbalah, in our hands from our fathers. Meraglim al shem maaseihem nikra'u. Their names all identified with this act. But the Rabbi Yitzchok said, we do not know how to interpret this by every name. Our ancestors told us that the names of these 10 people, each name actually identified with this act. And if we had the wisdom to interpret their particular name properly, we would see how it identified with their particular act here in Eretz Yisrael. But we don't have that wisdom. We lost that. And le'osu biyodeinu ele'achod. So we only know one. Sosur ben Michael. One of their names was Sosur ben Michael. Shesaser. Sosur comes from the word to break. Shesaser ma'isav shelakodesh baruch hu. That he broke the act of Hashem. Hashem went and was going to give us Eretz Yisrael to this generation. He went and broke it. Michael, he was the son of Michael, Shoasa Atzmei Moch, where he went and he stood up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He weakened HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength, not enabling him to give us the land. Then the Rabbi Yechon comes along and says, Afonu Neymar. We could also say, Nachbi Ben Fofsi. What does that mean? Nachbi Shehechvi Advorav Shela Kodesh Baruch Hu. That he went and he concealed the truth. Like we said, the truth was that they saw a good land, but he went and concealed it. Pasi Shepisal Midosiv Shela Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yechon takes two more names and he darshens this. Now here also is something which is difficult to understand. We say that their names identify their very acts in Eretz Yisrael. The names they were given when they were born. So this was something that seems to be premeditated from a long time ago. Now if that's the case, so why do we say Kulam Anoshim, Loshim Hashivas, that they were all good people at that time, and they were all kosher people? The explanation is as follows. And this is also in the Maral in the Goddess Hashas. At the time they left, they were Ksheri. They were kosher people. And they were Roshi Matis. They were important people. And they did not go with a conspiracy in mind that this is what we'll do, because then they would have been Rishoyim. They wouldn't have been Ksherim. But potentially these people were dangerous people. Potentially these people were not good people. And not only potentially from that time, as it happened, these people were these types from the time they were born, when they were given these names. When they were given these names, the people that gave them their names didn't realize, but they were, it actually was a true identification of what would come from these people. But at that time, they were kosher people. I'll give you an example. The Maral asks a question in a place. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Vashem Nisu as Abraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Abraham. And we know that it states, as in Nishenis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asor Nishenis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Abraham 10 times. Now, why is it necessary for Hashem to test someone? He knew what Abraham was. He knew he was righteous. Or he could foresee what he would choose. So why did he have to give him all of these tests? And the final test was Akedas Yitzchok, the test of binding Yitzchok and sacrificing him. And why did the Malach say, the angel comes along and says, Atu Yodati, now I know, Ki Yireh, that Yireh Lekimato, that you fear Hashem. Before he didn't know. What is the purpose of all Nisoyim, of all tests? So Maral says a very, very great principle. Sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew who he was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meichin Levavos. He looks into the hearts of people. Sure, he knew what he would choose. But there, when it comes to the world of theory, and when it comes to the world of practice, these are two worlds. As long as Abraham did not do this, so he was a theoretical tzaddik. He was a theoretically a righteous person. There's a great difference between being a theoretically a righteous person and being an actual righteous person. Ra'al says HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a tzaddik bekeach, he wants a tzaddik bepeil. He doesn't want a tzaddik that has potential qualities. He wants these qualities to come out into the real world. I'll give you a further example. You take a seed. Can you say there's no difference between the seed of an apple and an apple? You take an apple seed. Or you take the seed of the apple tree, and you say there's no difference between the seed and the tree. The seed has all of the potential powers of becoming a tree, and so the tree, and so the fruit. But, move on, it's well understood, different worlds. One we're talking where there's merely potential powers, but these powers have never been brought out into the real world, they've never had the opportunity to develop. And the other is talking where the powers are fully developed. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nisoyim. This is why he gives tests to his tzaddikim. States HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives tests to his tzaddikim. Because he doesn't want them to remain theoretically righteous. He wants them to develop into actual righteous people. Not a tzaddik b'keach, but a tzaddik b'peil. So they have to have the opportunity. And therefore he gives them one opportunity after another, each one a more difficult opportunity, each one a more difficult opportunity. And therefore, Vash Lakim Niso es Avraham, Hashem came to test Avraham, and 10 times did he test him. And that's why the angel said, Ato Yodati ki yirel ilkimato, now I know that you fear Hashem. Rashi brings on that posuk. Now it will be known to the world that you fear Hashem. Till now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, but the world didn't know. Because the world cannot see something that's potential, they can only see something that's real. But now, the Ummah Sa'olam, the nations of the world, also will know who you are. Now this is by a tzaddik. We have the same thing by a rosho. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu necessarily gives these tests to Rishoyim, to evil people, but you have the same thing by a Rosha. For example, you have people who have an evil nature. They have great shortcomings in themselves, for one reason or another. But it's theoretical, it's potential. For example, you have someone that you might know that you cannot trust this person with a lot of money. He's never stolen anything. But if you trust him with a lot of money, there's a good chance he'll steal it. See, here's a person that has a potential nature of being a ganav, or being a thief. But he's not a thief. He's an Orem Kosher. He's an Orem Kosher because he hasn't stolen. But he is what is known Mukhar Mekach. He has such a nature, such shortcomings in himself, that he is prone and he is subject to such an act. This is what the Gemara is saying. It says these people were anoshim, chashuvim. They were people of stature. Sheirim hoyu be'esisho. They were kosher at that time because they hadn't done anything wrong yet. But they were people who had great shortcomings in their innermost natures. And they were prone not to be able to stand up to Nishoyin. They were prone not to be able to stand this test. They were prone to Mikshul V'Takola. They were prone to obstacles. This is why we must never place obstacles in front of people. Because a tzaddik you don't have to worry about if it's not too great of an obstacle. Although even then, the Rabbi Yechanan in the Gemara said, Rabbi Yechanan said that even though great tests and great affliction, you grow from it, he says, don't give me this affliction and don't give me the growth. What was he afraid of? Because who can be batuah, who can trust himself that he'll come out successful? So you must not throw obstacles in front of everyone, but especially if the person is not such a tzaddik. Because at this point he's a kosher person, but if you put him in a certain situation, he might fall. And these were these people. So the Gemara is telling us that it's not that they were great tzaddikim through and through, and all of a sudden the world changed on them. When they left Eretz Yisrael, they were great tzaddikim. When they came back, they were great rishoyim. Now they were muchan lekach, they had such a nature from the beginning, were makish bioson yitzioson, just like they came back with a conspiracy. When they left also with a conspiracy, with a potential conspiracy. They were not that great believers to begin with. And just like they saw all of these things, they were miskaven, inner intent they had to see the shortcomings of Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says these people from their earliest days, from birth already, were mukhan for this. Maybe one will ask, maybe one will ask, if that's the case, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them such an assignment? States that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives a test to someone that he cannot survive. If a person finds himself in a difficult situation, he should know that how difficult it is, he has the ability to overcome it. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given him that difficult situation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the 10 tests to Abraham, these were tests that Abraham was capable of overcoming. Otherwise, Hashem wouldn't have given it to him. This is what the Medrash says. The Medrash tells us that when a person makes earthenware, and he bangs it. When you bang it, it becomes stronger right after he makes it. So he says he doesn't bang the weak ones too hard, otherwise he'll crack it. He bangs the strong ones. Or it says, what do you put, how much do you load a camel or a donkey? A weak camel, you give a light load, and a strong camel, you give a heavy load. So the same thing here. The answer to that is very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave them this test. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlach Lecho, but be careful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlach Lecho, Rashi brings, he said, Ani Eina Metzave Lecho. I am not commanding you to go see Eretz Yisrael, because I told you it's a good land, and you don't have to see it first. Im tirtzeh, if you want, shlach, then you send. But he said, Chayehem shani nesen lehem mokam litais bedivi amaragli b'laman le'yeshuha. But you should know that since I'm not sending you, then great downfall can come from it. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, he will not place an obstacle in front of a person, and the person will be capable of overcoming it. It will not be an obstacle that's too great for him. But he said, Shlach lecho, you're asking, you're demanding the obstacle. Then all right, good. But Chayehem, you should know now, I'm not placing it. You're placing it in front of yourselves. If you're placing it in front of yourselves, how do you know you can overcome it? If I give it to you, if a doctor prescribes medicine, he knows how much the patient can take. If you prescribe medicine to yourself, how do you know that you can take it? And this is what happened. The obstacle was too great for them, and it brought out their potential. And just like by the tzaddikim, bringing out potential is wonderful because it brings out their righteousness. By people that do not have that nature, it's to overcome them, because otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't have given for us. Then we have to be mispadal, we have to pray very hard for Siyata Dishmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Because unfortunately, great many problems of life do not just come our way, but we bring them our way. Like this case over here. What, we can go one step further. And that, the Maral says, he says it had to be that way in this case here. He says it's, you could not say, it would not be logical to say that such a great tragedy would happen to Klal Yisrael, that would be an historical tragedy. You see, I mentioned before that this was a tragedy that had ramifications in history, because the Gemara tells us that they came back on Tisha B'Av. And when they wept, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are weeping for no reason. Why are you weeping? Because you're afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land. That's not a reason. I already told you that it's a good land and you will conquer it. So you are weeping the Chiyah Shel Chinam. You are weeping for no reason, for no justified reason. Therefore, Keveyanil Bochem, I will set this night aside for generations that you will weep. The kfius of Tisha B'Av, the establishment of the ninth of Av, took place from this episode. So this was not an episode that happened to that generation alone. What happened on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av was set aside for generations for Churban. Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash, our entire Golus today is because of Tisha B'Av. And the Maral goes further to explain that the tzoris that takes place on Tisha B'Av basically are tzoris of Eretz Yisrael, Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Golus. And why does that have to do with here? Because had they gone into Eretz Yisrael and conquered the land, then it would have all been part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. This was the plan. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I want to take you out of Mitzrayim
in order to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. And just like the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, was irreversible, the same would be the going into Eretz Yisrael would have been irreversible. And he says, had this not taken place, there never would have been a Churban Beis HaMikdash, a destruction of Beis HaMikdash. There never would have been a Golus. It would have been irreversible. But the process stopped. The generation that went out of Egypt stopped and never went into Eretz Yisrael. And that generation died in the desert. So when the new generation was to go into Eretz Yisrael, this was something else already. And therefore it was not linked with the going out of Egypt. And therefore, even though the going out of Egypt was irreversible, but the Biyas or Oretz coming into Eretz Yisrael was not. This is what this caused. So he said it's inconceivable that such a tragedy that would be the death warrant of the 600,000 in the desert, of that whole generation, and be the kfiyas of Tisha B'Av Lidoros, should merely happen because 10 people went into Eretz Yisrael and they wanted to see the land and they stumbled. They stumbled from what they saw. He said, this can't be. But he said, it had to be. That these people, and these were not they alone, they were representing the cloud. See, we see also something else. We see that it was not a chet yechidi. It was not individual chetz, chatoim. If we're individual chatoim, what does it have to do with all nation? We see it was a national chet. And these were the representatives. He said it had to be that these representatives were destined. They were prone. They had natures and personalities that was miskaven le beishosi shel Eretz Yisrael, that were drawn to see the Gnai of Eretz Yisrael, to see what was wrong with Eretz Yisrael. And in this way they represented the people to the point where they were contrary to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the people were not zocha to Eretz Yisrael. Because if we say otherwise, it comes out that the nation really deserved Eretz Yisrael. But what happened? Maaseh Shehoyu. 10 people went into Eretz Yisrael. And they saw all kinds of things, and they couldn't handle it. And they stumbled, and they fell, and they came back with a bad report. He said, Hayitochen, is that possible then? That this tragedy, this historical tragedy, should take place from that? But it must be, he says. That's why what the Gemara is telling us. That we see that these people, to begin with, and they were the representatives of the nation, were contrary. That when Moshe told them, look at the land. If you see big people, it's a good land. It's a healthy land. And they saw big people, and they said, it's a strange land that can bring up some giants. And he told them, see, if there are open cities, this means they're great warriors. If they're fortified cities, there's nothing to worry about. And they saw fortified cities, and they saw a different picture altogether. From fortified cities, they said, it's unconquerable. And then he said, see what kind of fruit it can grow. Is it a fat land or a lean land? And they couldn't have seen more beautiful fruit. But Lignuse, everything was Derish Lignai. Everything they saw just the opposite of what they saw. So Kolev and Yeshua said that the land was Tovah Mi'od Mi'od. And they came back and they said, it's impossible. Eretz Echelesh Yeshveho. It's a land which consumes its inhabitants. So therefore, this is what the Gemara is explaining. From this, all of this, besides the explanation in the story of what takes place, we see that if a person wants to see things the way they are, it's not so easy. Because we do not see through our eyes. What the eye sees, it merely brings back to the mind. And it brings back to the nefesh of Adam and back to the soul of the Adam. And then that and these interpret for us what we saw. So you can have two people seeing exactly the same, and they saw totally different. This is what the Mishnah Novos tells us. It's praising what are the great milas of the person, an ein tova or an ein ro. Certain people have an eye where they see only good. Others people have an eye where they see evil all the time. They see badly. They see bad. Or a good heart or a bad heart. And the same when we have cases of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Siyata Dishmaya. Like here HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he made all types of levayas through the land in order that no one should bother them. And from here they saw evil. This also is the same. Therefore, it's like the story with Rabbi Kiva. That Rabbi Kiva tried to find lodging in a place and the whole city was filled. So he had to stay outside of the city. But he said, look, maybe it's for the good. And then he had a rooster with him, and the rooster died. He said, maybe it's for the good. And then he had a donkey with him, and the donkey died, and he said, maybe it's for the good. And that night, an army came upon the city and captured everyone and plundered. And the beekeeper was safe, and his donkey didn't bray, or he had a rooster that didn't crow, and he had a candle with him. The fire went out. So a person must work very hard when he sees something to try to see the truth in it. He must not look to the right or to the left, but to see what it is. And in this we need great Siyata Dishmaya. We have to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always should grant us to see truth in everything. Because the eyes are what lead us. And if we don't see properly, we are going, heaven forbid, to be led in an awful wrong direction. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. See, Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave a tefillah for Yeshua. And he says, Kol Yeshia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save him Atzis HaMeraglim from the conspiracy of the spies. And Kolev also knew. You see, they were worried themselves. Kolev was worried. He went to Hebron, and there he was Mishtateach al Kivri Oves. He went to be Mispalo to the Oves, that he also should not fall. And this is what one has to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that whatever we see, he should make it that we see it properly, and he guides us in the right way.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.